This episode of The Selling Out Show is brought to you by our partners at Wonky Weeds. All set to relax, sit back, and just let your mind wander freely after a hectic day? Check out Wonky Weeds' delicious Delta 8 edibles. Wonky Weeds Delta 8 comes from U.S.-grown hemp, free from chemicals and pesticides. You can find their amazing line of products at wonkyweeds.com.
What it does is reaches into your brain chemically and locates your happiest memory chemically, and then locks onto that emotion and freezes it chemically, and then it keeps your happy happy.
Hello, 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 and thank you for tuning in to The Selling Out Show, where we screw up life at our leisure for your listening pleasure. I am one of your hosts, David A. Schultz, Esquire the First, and over here is my buddy, my partner in crime, and co-host, Nathan Gorzinski. Nate, how are you this fine day?
I'm sweaty.
Sweaty? Hot. Mom's spaghetti? Yeah. You nervous?
Not nervous. Just, I'm nervous that I'm going to pass out from the heat.
Ooh.
It's summer. It's like mid-July, late July, and... I can't imagine how it is down there, man. I'm up in New England and it's like 102 degrees or some shit.
The world is burning. The entire world. England is going through heat problems, advisories, all that stuff. Everywhere is just hot. It's something else. So as my 10-year-old would like to say, it's not global warming, it's global burning. Yeah. Right. So those are the kind of jokes that are now passable amongst children. This is society as we've come to know it, but effing hot everywhere. So wherever you are listening to this humble little program, hopefully you have your Piggly Wigglies dipped in the pool or ice in some regions that will definitely cool you down.
Yeah,
that's our wish. It is bad. So we're two sweaty dudes on the mics preparing a show for the general public. And boy, do we have a good one today. Nate, you have dug up some internet goodies for us to discuss a little bit later on. We also have your Nate's Note segment for those who are fans of the music, the hip beats, you know, people who like to move and shake and do whatever to the sounds that come out of instruments. That's what they call it, right?
That's what they call it, yeah.
I am so not hip. I am so uncool. It hurts. Literally, it hurts.
You're groovy, Dave.
I'm in pain. Yeah, I'm hip. I'm with it. But, Nate, I want to kind of make a bold statement to lead off our program today, and okay. I want to see what you have to say about it.
All right, shoot, man.
Now, you know I'm curmudgeonly. I am an older gentleman. I am in the twilight of my existence.
That's fair.
I was waiting for you to say no. You are still very young. You have lots to look forward to. Chin up. But no.
Listen,
what?
Dave. An expectation is a premeditated resentment. So if you're expecting me to say something, you're just setting yourself up for disappointment.
Wow, where did that come from?
I don't know.
I like it, but I don't quite understand it right out of the gate. So I'm going to have to sit with that and think about that for a little bit. But I thought I was coming with something bold here.
Wow.
And you're changing lives one word at a time. Yeah, turning the tables. Yeah. But I made an observation. And that is country western music and anime are the same thing. Yeah.
Wow.
You know why? Because it's all formulaic. It's all based on the same aesthetics, and the deviations are few and far between. Now, you know, my kid watches a lot of the Pokemon stuff. His friends are into all these like different anime things. And I see him, all the animation style is the same, right?
Yeah.
Oh, the character's going to cry, make the eyes shake. You know what I mean? The style, if you see the drawings, they're all the big-eyed, speaking of eyes, girls and everything else, the small features. So anime really is based on one code, one ethic that you stick to. thereby is anime, right?
True. Yeah.
Country Western music, as much as they try to infuse different styles of music into it, rock or, God forbid, rap, because, you know, you don't want them cowpokes hearing any of that music from the inner city mixed with their, you know, cow humping tunes. But still, it's following the same, you know, formula, basically. The formulas in these are the same. So I was listening to country western music while watching anime, and I realized these guys are two birds of a feather.
Wow.
What do you think?
I'm really struck, man. First of all, this hits close to home because my girlfriend Carly like listens to mostly country music.
Oh,
yeah.
Divorce.
But but her son Joey is big into anime. And so those two things are constantly surrounding me, and I never made that connection. This is fascinating. I definitely see it, and I think there are stylistic things in any genre that are constant, and that's what makes them fall into a certain category. I believe we've talked on the show several times about how genre, like subgenres and more subgenres, just get sickening in music and I guess film and everything. But yeah, you're right, though. It does get a little ridiculous when you look at one anime and you look at another one that was made years later, totally different storyline. You would think they were the same artist that did it almost.
Yeah. It's I don't like it. Yep. No sirree bop. I don't like it. Same with country western music. The old C&W, not for me. I don't have any big belt buckles. So yeah. I have no interest in hearing about drinking beer and breaking up.
You're in Texas, man, and you don't have a giant belt buckle or a 10-gallon hat.
No, but I'm in Dallas, and Dallas is not – I think I might have said this to you before, so please stop me. But basically, it's like Worcester, Massachusetts, just hotter. There is a large melting pot of people here in Dallas. This is not ranches and farmland. This is a sprawling urban jungle full of McDonald's. Burger Kings, and I'm just going to keep naming fast food places, but you get my point. There's is, you know,
yeah,
it's not, I mean, look, I see a lot of hillbillies too. They're part of the whole crew.
Yeah.
But still, we got a wide variety of folks down here. Now, I've been really also interested. I'm totally changing the topic now. So if you had any more to say about it, too bad.
That's fine.
Okay. Don't. All right. Good. Dream journals. Get out of my head, dream police. I've been really interested about how I'm wasting my life and productivity and how I can kind of tick that up a little bit. And I read someone online, which is the worst place to improve your productivity is by being online and reading these things in the first place. But he made a point, this guy, who I will not cite or quote accurately. And that was, when you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you do? I'm asking you just real quick here.
The first thing I do is usually take a big shit.
Oh, but what do you do while you're taking that big deuce? You're on your phone, right?
You're absolutely right.
There you go.
Wow.
Everybody wakes up, they grab their phone, da 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 da, and that, you know, he's like, cut that out, man. He's like, when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you should be doing is either working on a dream journal or hydrating, doing a various amount of other things other than moth to the flame, I need the phone in my face. And that made a lot of sense to me.
Wow.
So I buy a sketch pad. I buy some markers.
Yeah.
Keep them by the bed. But something dawned on me. Just like the morning sun did that same day that I had that new dream journal by the bed. My dreams are always explicit. So if I'm going to draw anything, it's probably not going to be safe for work. And I don't want people finding my journal thinking, geez, this guy was a perv. Look at this dude. What the hell is he drawing here? Ass to mouth? That's not right.
That's kind of like letting out your most deepest, darkest, you know, secrets, the things nobody sees. You're like making evidence of it for people to discover. Yeah. It's like a murderer writing a diary. Yeah. You know?
I wouldn't go that far. It's not a manifesto. But yeah, I mean, I realize my dreams are not family friendly every night. Is this a problem? Should I get this addressed?
No, man, I think, you can't help what's in your head. I mean,
Okay.
maybe some therapy,
All right.
maybe.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, you can't really feel bad about the thoughts that come into your head. That's one thing I've learned from therapy is like you're not responsible for your thoughts. You're responsible for how you act on them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well,
So as long as
Doc.
you're not just going around and asking people to go ass to mouth
Yeah.
with them.
Hey, excuse me. I had a dream last night about this certain type of fellatio. Would you be interested in looking at my dream journal? No, but I mean, hey, Doc. So I have dirty dreams like every night. Is that okay? That's something you'd really want to breach with a physician right out of the jump there. Oh, hi. How are you? Here for therapy? Did you have some traumatic childhood? Did you have? Yeah. Well, that's all fine and dandy. But first thing first, I was having sex in the Sahara last night. There was a helicopter, a whole lot of juice. Yeah, so my dream journal is empty.
Oh man, you just haven't even gone there yet.
Yeah. I'm glad you didn't ask what kind of juice when I said a whole lot of juice.
That's all right, man.
Yeah.
Juices are personal.
Juice is juice. It's juice, eh? So yeah. You don't have a dream journal, do you? You chronicle your sleep or your whatever happens while your eyes are shut?
I don't, but that's a fascinating idea.
Hmm.
It's funny you say that because this morning I woke up after having like a really crazy dream. I don't often anymore now that I've been off the dope. I haven't had like a drug dream in a while. Like that's a thing that plagues people that are getting off of addictive drugs is that you start having dreams. Like again, you're not responsible for what your mind does. You're responsible for what you do, with it. So I would have dreams like that all the time when I first got off heroin and it was always some dream where you can't get the drug into your body. Like you'll have a needle and it keeps breaking right as you like put it to your skin or somebody keeps knocking on the door and like interrupting you and you can't get it done or something goes wrong. Like your dealer's late and he keeps, it's always some reason to not get high in your dream. But last night, years after I used really last time, I like put it in, I was able to actually put it in my arm. I don't remember feeling high from it, but I remember when I woke up, I was fascinated that I was
Wow.
actually able. Yeah.
Were you in the
You know.
Sahara? Was there a camel there?
No.
That came out of left field, by the way. I've never had a dream. I was being very honest about the whole,
Yeah.
like, dude, I'm a hornball. I don't know why
Huh.
every night I gotta have something going on. But the camel and the juice in the desert was for the show only.
Well,
So yeah.
I don't know. I just thought you were getting real, like I chose to do just
Well,
now,
yeah, I know you did. And that's some intense stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm an intense guy, Dave.
You are. This is true. But how often do you have dirty dreams? You have the drug dreams.
Probably about, I don't know. I honestly couldn't tell you. My dreams are
Okay.
bizarre,
So
man.
there is
They're really
something
bizarre.
wrong with me.
Yes, definitely. You
Okay.
definitely need therapy,
All right.
definitely.
Well, there's people who need therapy everywhere. There are people with problems everywhere.
That's
Nate, you've recently been
right.
scouring the internet because you're
That's
good
right.
like that. You were looking around. Oh, I just dropped something because I am fleet of nothing. I don't know why I just had to yell that out
Okay, man. I've got noises happening in my room too.
loud.
People are gonna like
Oh,
hear all kinds of weird shit.
you heard my thing fall? My
I
notepad
did. I
fall?
did.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
Did you
So,
hear my trucks going by outside that
no.
I can't control?
No,
Oh,
I
that's
did
good.
not. No, you can't control it. It's what you do about it, Nate.
Oh, that's right.
So, anyway, let's get back on track here. I just like the fact I just yell. Anytime
Like I
someone,
dropped something.
yeah, I'm in the restaurant. I drop some salt. Oh, my God. Everybody, I drop some salt. We don't give a shit.
Draw
Okay.
more
Carry
attention
on.
to it.
Yeah. Yeah,
Sure.
I don't know why. But anyway, back to the thing, the task at hand here. You've had some trouble with the law. And the police are there to help, or they're supposed to be there to help. But in
Yeah, I
some
was gonna say
cases,
what?
what? In some cases, they can be a little difficult to work with. And you found some interesting 911 stuff. What do you say we discuss that?
Sure, Dave. Let's start this new segment.
segment it is, baby.
911, what's your emergency?
I've fallen and I can't get up.
All right, I mean, really, who doesn't love a good 911 call to, you know, enjoy someone else's misery? Sure. And it seems here that you find a doozy out of Ohio, a place that I have never been. I don't know how much setup I should really put into this. Maybe I should just start the 911 call.
I think it speaks for itself.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead with that right now.
Sharonville Police, this is Cindy.
Hi, I need to do a complaint about two Sharonville cops. They stole my f***ing weed last night.
Okay, let me have you talk to a supervisor.
All right.
Hold on just a moment.
Hello?
Hi, is this a sheriff?
This is Sergeant Blood Crompton with the Sharonville Police. How can I help you?
I had two cops come here last night and steal my f***ing weed, and I want it back.
Yeah, he wants it. This guy, he really wants it back because it's not just his weed, it's his effing weed.
I like how his face, it sounds like, keeps hitting the phone buttons right when he says the word fuck.
Yeah, that's convenient. That is convenient indeed. But I mean, that's, you know, you, normally my house is on fire.
Yeah.
I'm being robbed.
Right.
This guy, he just wants his effing weed. So, yeah, that's something else indeed. But he's not done.
Nope.
No, not by a long shot.
Where, what address are you talking about?
Yeah, I was staying at a hotel last night at the time. My wife had some problem. They had to call him. And my wife had my weed in her purse. And the motherfucking cops took it. It was only like 4 grams, but it was really good fucking weed.
Well, in contrast to stealing bad weed, they stole my shake, Nate.
It must have been good weed. I think he still had a little because he was like stuttering there. He's like, I was staying at the hotel at the night at the time. Dirt. I guess it's intimidating to call the cops to complain about stolen
weed. Well, no. I mean, realistically, right? Let's just get this out of the way. I mean, this is obviously not a smart man.
Sure.
It shouldn't be intimidating to call. It shouldn't be something you call about, period. I mean, really, think about that, right? The balls on this guy. And then what I liked in particular was he stressed he was at a hotel. We all know it was not a hotel. It was most definitely something that started with an M, a motel.
Right.
He was most likely at the Red Roof Inn.
Sure.
2-star to him is definitely a 4 or 5-star for, you know, in his mind, put it that way. But the cop showed up and took his mother effing weed. So, and it's good stuff. 4 grams. Right. I don't know metrics. How much is 4 grams?
4 grams is a little over an eighth. 3.5 is an eighth.
Okay. You're still speaking in numbers. Can you compare it to something that weighs something so I know?
I don't know, man. An eighth of weed kind of looks like a cigar in the bottom of a bag, like that size, I would say.
It weighs about as much as a small sack of sand.
Pretty small. I bet sand is heavier than weed. Weed's pretty fluffy. But anyway.
Well, maybe he'll explain more as we continue on here with the call.
And the motherfuckers took it. And from what I know, 100 grams is cool, right? Or am I wrong?
You are wrong.
I'm wrong.
What do you mean by that? Do you think it's cool? Where did you get that information?
What are you talking about? 100 grams is legal. Am I wrong?
No, it's not.
What county is this?
This isn't Hamilton County.
Ooh. Okay. Ooh, he forgot where he was. What county is it? What is going on here? Where am I?
He's technically right in one regard. 100 grams is cool. It may not be legal, but it's cool.
It's definitely pretty cool. So, you know. I don't know. I like how stern the police officer was. He let him know what was up. It's like, do you think it's cool to... Nate, give me a weird scenario here. What would be something that you think would be cool that no one else would think was hip?
I don't know. Putting my penis on the hot stove.
Oh, really? So, Mr. Cool. Officer, do you think putting my penis on the hot stove is a cool thing?
You are wrong.
Oh! Okay, so keep my extremities away from hot... objects that would probably be
but that's
wise.
Legal as long as it's my own.
Oh, okay. Mr. Officer, sir, is it legal to burn my penis on the stove?
You are wrong.
Oh, no. It's not legal. Sorry.
Better read that criminal code again.
Yeah, get back to that because this guy knows the law.
Yeah.
This caller, that's the other thing. He's freaking Johnny Cochran over here. Mm. So let's hear more about his law degree.
All right.
Hamilton County, 100 grams is legal.
Okay, well, I mean, it's not. I'm just here to tell you that it's not.
What do you mean it's not, dude? Where you been the past 2 months? 2 months ago, it got past 100 grams. You guys don't take it. No ticket. I know I'm right here, dude. Don't try to talk to me like I'm dumb.
Yeah, he's not dumb. This is definitely not a dumb man. He knows because he voted for it. This
yeah.
guy, yeah, he definitely has his eye voted in. I forget the name of the county, but he's got the sticker.
I think he said Hamilton County.
Hamilton, yeah. Maybe he just saw the play.
Yeah,
I saw.
I don't know. I think it's probably a case of like it was passed, but maybe it wasn't yet enacted. Like I remember when weed was legalized here in Massachusetts, it like took a while, you know, before everything went through and the cops actually had to follow that law. Like it gets passed. Mm-hmm. There's like a whole process before they change all the books and the fucking cops know how to handle it. So he might be right, but I think the cop's word probably means a little more. And even if it doesn't in reality, like according to the cop and being able to bust you, the cop's point of view matters more.
Well, yeah. I mean, will it hold up in court? We don't know because it was passed 2 months ago, man.
Yeah, you know.
You know, I think this guy is funny. He's gotten so angry now because really, you know, and it's weird that we're almost siding with a cop on this.
Yeah, I know. That never happens.
But yeah, I know. But I mean, he's barely saying anything and this guy is just fucking losing his goddamn mind.
If you'd like to come down and file a complaint against these officers, you can do it in person.
No, bullshit. I want my weed back. It was only 4 grams. And it happened at like 2:30 last night. Did those motherfuckers turn in any weed? Did they say any weed? Or I guarantee you, they put it right in their fucking pockets.
Okay, well,
I'll take this as far as you want to go. If you think you're going to fuck me around with this bullshit, dude, you're fucking wrong. I'm just going to go over your fucking head. I want my motherfucking weed back. They didn't turn it in, did they? Did any cops turn in any fucking weed last night around 2:30, 3 a.m.? I guarantee you they didn't. They stole my fucking weed. I know the law. I know my fucking rights.
Okay, so he knows his rights. 2:33 a.m. He's very specific about the time as well.
Wow. It sounds like maybe he doesn't know his rights as well as he thinks.
Oh, really?
Maybe. I don't know. Dude, also the cop says, like, why don't you come down and file a complaint?
Yeah.
I fell for that one time.
Did you? For real?
Well, I got arrested. And when it happened, they pulled me over, arrested me, and they took $100 out of my car that had nothing to do with what I was getting arrested for. It was just my money. I just gone to the ATM. I even had the receipt from the ATM like with it. And dude, they never gave it back. I bailed out and I called to complain like 3 different times over the next day or two, because especially at the time I was a junkie and that $100 was like everything to me.
Jeez Louise.
And they finally said, come down and claim it. They like called me out of the blue and were like, hey, were you the one calling about that $100? I'm like, yeah. They're like, oh, come down. Dude, I went down there. Immediately, they cuffed me up and they like added this other charge that they figured they could add on all of a sudden. Like it was a total ruse to get me to just walk in. And all of a sudden, I needed another like $200 for bail. Like not only did I not get the $100. So,
hey, were you the one who had his weed stolen at 2:33 a.m. last night at the hotel? Yeah. Why don't you come down here and pick up that weed? We also have a yacht for you. If you're interested in that. Oh, really? You? Hey, let me come down and get that right now.
Right. The guy was smart enough, like, or the cop was nice enough, even if he did take the weed, to let the guy go. And then he calls and the cop's like, okay, why don't you come down here? I bet they would arrest him right there. They'd be like, all right, now we are arresting you for the weed.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think he was there. We're going to hear a little bit more about that. But his wife is the one who had the weed seized. So,
right, the plot thickens.
The plot does, in fact, thicken.
You know, and if you're not going to help me out, I'm going to go over your f-ing head.
Can you stop talking for a second? Okay.
What?
What hotel were you at?
This guy. I know, that was too funny. Can you stop talking for a second?
What?
Yeah, so... excuse me, sir. I believe the weed was actually taken at 2:34 a.m.
What?
Yeah, exactly. You, you're hip. You're with it. Dukka, 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 dukka. So, yeah. that makes me laugh. Can you please stop talking for a second? And we did this nice pause. There was, in fact, a gap. So let's not put a gap in this and keep hearing the clip.
Okay.
I don't know. Some hotel in Sharonville. But I woke up in the morning, I asked my wife where my mother weed was, and she said the cops came and took it. It was only 4 grams, but it was good weed.
So the,
and those
so
motherfuckers stole it.
So the police officers took it from your wife?
Yeah. Okay. And my wife said to them, she said to them, no, 100 grams is legal. And they said, ugh, and they kind of laughed, you know, tell it to the judge kind of bullshit.
Okay, what's your wife's name?
Hey, I'm not trying to get all this information out, man. I just
Why
want
not?
My weed back.
Okay. The names of the participants, that's a little bit too much information. But he's got the timestamps, he's got the hotel or motel. He knows exactly where and what time these things happen. But as far as her name, it's George Glass. That's what it is. So, yeah.
We now have the solution to the dilemma, though. I think the dude's wife definitely smoked that weed.
You think so?
And yep. And then told the guy some story about the cops taking it. And she didn't think he'd call her bluff.
Yeah, maybe.
And he's calling the cops now. You know, she's probably in the room trying not to laugh while he's doing it. You know, so. I don't know. You think this guy was even there? It sounds like he wasn't even there.
Like, no, he wasn't. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Yeah. Like he's telling the cop this stuff, but he doesn't really know what's going on. The wife was the one who was hanging around, and apparently the cops got called for something else, searched the purse, and took the weed. Or, like you said, maybe she smoked it with somebody else.
That's what I think.
Could be.
or maybe there's a third option. Maybe none of this happened. And this is just some weird dude trying a weird ploy to, like, get free weed from cops. Like, he calls. I bet the cops grabbed 4 grams from somebody last night. Maybe if I just roll the dice and see if I luck out, maybe they'll give me some free pot. And he's trying it with different amounts of weed with different police stations around the state.
That would be this guy, we've already questioned his intelligence.
Yeah.
But that would be the worst thing. You know, we've heard, and you've told me about, like, taking stuff from a store and then returning it without a receipt.
Yeah.
That was like a scam or whatever, but calling up police officers via 911 to try to find small amounts of weed to claim would definitely be a goofy, goofy thing to do, in my humble opinion.
If it works, though, that's a really great story. A little feather in his cap, you know?
Yeah. I guess I just sounded like the guy. I was like,
yeah.
So disagree with everything I say, please.
Yeah.
All right. I like this guy. You. Hey, man, can I borrow a 4 grams of weed from you? It's good stuff, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Sweet.
Hey, man, Mr. Officer, that's some really good 4 grams of weed he's got there, right?
You are wrong.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
Oh, too bad. Well, I was tricked. I was all like,
I think most likely he's just a burnout whose girl smoked his pot and gave him a bullshit story. I think that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah, you know? Most likely here. I mean, now he's an internet sensation. He's he's you know what this reminds me of, kind of.
What's that?
And it bothers me to no end. Have you seen these videos that are circulating now on social media about Emmanuel, the emu? I think he's an emu. He's some kind of big bird. You have not seen these, huh?
Emmanuel the emu, or Emmanuel the big bird.
Yeah, he's like a big black. I just assumed he was an emu, but I think all birds are an emu. Hey, that's a pigeon. No, that's an emu. A very small one.
Small emu.
That's a small emu. But anyway, I guess just to give you a quick summary, this one girl on a farm, she does these videos, and the bird comes over and is very fascinated with the camera and knocks it over. To the point now, she keeps making multiple videos about the bird. The bird is a sensation. He's taken off like hotcakes. Yeah. Everybody loves the bird, and she's getting hundreds of thousands of likes and views and everything else just because this bird likes to knock off the camera. So this is the rub. This is the thing that bothers me the most, is that you will live a life, a successful existence. You will do wonderful things, okay, that will go unnoticed by society at large. That's fine. You're not looking for recognition. You know, you're not a rock star poet or someone else. Or actually, poets probably get no recognition either. But anyway, someone of significance to the point where people will mourn your passing. But alas, someday this bird will die.
Mm.
This bird will go to the great big egg in the sky.
Mm.
That'd be weird, back into the egg. But anyway, it's going to go somewhere. And there will be tributes on Entertainment Tonight or wherever, or it's going to be an article in a newspaper. Emmanuel the emu, who brought so much joy and happiness to people for his 15 minutes of fame back in 2022, has died. And that fucking bird is going to get more recognition than an honest, hard-working person who does their best to put on their pants every day, go to work, and provide for their family.
That's right.
Yeah.
The emu's going to get more recognition than the woman who paid for the fucking camera.
Probably, yeah. I bet you that's... I feel like I'm saying, yeah, like this guy now. I can't stop.
Yeah.
It's addicting.
It's all right.
I'm going to have dreams about it, like you and your dreams. And wake up in the middle of the night. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus. That's going to haunt my nightmares.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Mr. Ohio, the cop stole my weed guy. Did you hear about Emmanuel the emu?
What?
Yeah, you like Nate, ain't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. So now that we've made fun of other members of this wonderful, glorious country of ours, specifically from Ohio, for, you know, freaking out over their dope, maybe we can talk about some more dopey things and move on here, Nate. I know you had something on your agenda.
Yeah, there were some news stories that I had heard recently on Fox News and right-wing media.
Oh, yeah. That's painful. What are you doing listening to Fox News?
You are wrong.
Not doing it intentionally, but I like to stay abreast of what they're saying over there, you know.
Sure, okay. You're propaganda. Keeping up with the enemy.
Yeah, well, you know, I just... I try to stay open-minded.
Okay.
I don't... You know, Fox News tells people to not listen to any other news but them. I don't want to just listen to the news I'm listening to. I want to listen to everything and kind of make my own mind up. But
okay.
The point is...
What's going on over there at Faux News? What's up, Buttercup?
Faux News is lionizing someone like Joe McCarthy.
Oh.
I'm noticing. So when I was younger, I forget what grade I was in. It was like junior high, maybe, or high school.
Mm-hmm.
I did a report on the Red Scare back in the 50s and about how they ruined tons of people's lives because they called everyone a communist. Anyone that had any ties with suspected communism, they blacklisted them. Like, they cleared out Hollywood, athletes, like all kinds of people's lives were ruined. And I thought the lessons of history was that, like, the Red Scare was a stupid mistake and it needlessly ruined people's lives.
Yeah, of course. That's what I remember of the whole ordeal.
Right. And that Senator Joe McCarthy, who basically spearheaded the whole thing, that the lesson was that he was a psychopath.
Bad man.
Yeah. And he died a paranoid wreck. Like, look up how he died. He was like, he had all these paranoid delusions. He died like alone and crazy. But yeah, like, I mean, my father listens to or watches Fox News and stuff. And I heard my father like making some comment about Joe McCarthy and how we need a new Joe McCarthy. And he even used the term like we love Tail Gunner Joe, he called him.
All right.
Like, and to me, I'm like, that must have been something Sean Hannity said. Like, that sounds like one of his little quips, you know.
Your father's just parroting. Which seems to be the thing. Everybody parrots what they hear of Fox News. So Tail Gunner, almost sounds like a homosexual thing. I swear to God.
That's one of your dreams.
Yeah, maybe it is. It's a little tail gunning. Yeah.
That sounds like a nice little euphemism.
That's the way I just said it sounds that way. Tail gunning. You want a tail gun later? Oh, you bet. I got a bib. What do you say? Let's tail gun.
Get a towel. Keep it close by.
That's right.
But
juicy. Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking about how like history has, we learn these lessons and then enough time goes by and we forget them.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we're repeating the whole history repeats itself thing. It's like, it's really happening. And I was noticing the same thing with like the satanic panic thing. Like, do you remember the 80s when we were younger and everything was like, heavy metal bands are backmasking, you know,
subliminal
messages.
Ozzy's telling people to kill themselves. Commit that suicide. Suicide solution, baby.
Yeah. And there were like all the, the West Memphis Three, these kids that were arrested for a murder because they wore black and had long hair and listened to like heavy metal music with devil imagery.
Sure.
And there was literally, like no evidence except other people's words saying, you know, oh yeah, that person told me he did the murder. And
it's like,
so they arrest-
you haven't watched it, but the new season of Stranger Things deals with D&D.
Same thing.
And the demonizing. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, your kids are into D&D. They're into Satan.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's perfect. That's a perfect example. And I'm not saying that there's news stories about Satanism everywhere right now. It's not that to that extent. But my point was, I thought that like the general outlook was that like if you're too Christian and like crazy about that sort of thing, where you're worried about that stuff, like a real Satanist doesn't sacrifice things, or like the actual Church of Satan doesn't believe in any gods. They do it as a reaction to Christianity because Christianity has overstepped and is involved in all our areas. Like, I don't know. I don't want to go off on too much of a
tirade. You are, though.
Here.
Look at you I go. Am.
I am, man.
Yeah.
But
look,
I'm telling
you.
Look
at you go, baby. Oh, all into the Satanists. Nate, you are bad. You are very, very bad.
Well, I just mean that, like, when religious people get too involved in the law and all this stuff, like that was the problem with the West Memphis Three and all those things, was that the DA and the fucking judge and the jury were all super Christians. It was a super Christian area. So these kids looked different and they were automatically judged.
Yeah, of course.
And now we have the government being overtaken by people who want to make laws based on their religion. And they don't remember the fact that our country isn't supposed to have an established state religion. That's in the First Amendment. The establishment clause of this First Amendment is that we are not to establish a state religion. Like, we have freedom of religion as well as freedom from religion should we not choose a religion. Like, if we want to not have one. And yet, now, you know, not again, we could go off on political tirades, but we have the fucking, we have schools that are now able to get public funding, even though they're religious schools, which shouldn't happen. Their money shouldn't be going to teach kids religious points of view. And that was like the, our super conservative Supreme Court has done that now. They're allowing these schools to get funding that shouldn't be going to them unless they want to give it to Muslim schools too, you know, and things like that. And it has to give it to everyone.
But they're not a religion, Nate. Those Muslims are bad. They are
evil.
Oh,
they're not the right religion.
Exactly. That's the whole thing here. Everybody, you can remember, it's only right if it's white. That's the way it is. You got to be from some ultra conservative state, have a lot of guns, and be white.
Right. But, and that's, dude, it's fucking crazy. Like,
it is crazy. It's nuts. It's, I'm still in shock about what you let off this whole thing about. The tail gunning.
Oh, the tail gunner Joe thing?
Yeah. That the fact that Joe McCarthy now is heralded as some sort of hero.
Yeah.
When he was obviously just a misguided nut job. Right. He was like, oh, well, what am I going to do? I got to get my name in the papers. Oh, everybody's a communist. Everybody. You know, it's just.
Right.
I do want to get tail gunning trending as a, you know, sexual thing. I would like
to. Sounds good.
Yeah, hashtag tail gunning.
Yeah.
I would like to hear some creative ways of making tail gunning work and what it's really all about. Use your imaginations, you know?
That's gonna be a Pornhub category now. You can look up tail gunning.
Your brain is a canvas, eager to accept some paint. I might use it, my dream journal. That might be the first entry, what I might dream up tail gunning would be. I already said or suggested you'd need a bib. So, you know, let's start there. But yeah, it's just, I don't know, man. The world's out of whack. Something's, I don't know. But when has the world ever been right as rain? You know what I mean? When has there ever been peace and love and idyllic society that we live in? It just, it's never happened. We're too busy arguing with each other. We can't accept Eden on Earth because that would be pleasurable for one group, not the other, because someone always has to enjoy other people's misery, as we just did by listening to a 911 call. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the way it is. So we're fucked.
I do.
We're doomed.
But I want to say, though, that, like, the thing is, we're at a point, like, I just felt like we, I don't know, maybe it's the progressive in me, but I feel like we're moving into an area where we understand that, like, as we evolve further, I feel like we should evolve away from these points of view. Maybe that's me not being patient with other points of view just the same way. But like, I feel like don't we know now that these fairy tales aren't fucking real? Like, don't we have science and all these things? And like, and I don't know, without getting too far into it, but the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade, it's the same thing. Like, you're forcing other people to abide by your religious views. Like, there's no non-religious reason to restrict abortion access. Like, nobody is willfully going and getting an abortion because they want to kill a child. Like, when they talk about, oh, they allow people to have an abortion at 8-9 months, it's like, yeah, but nobody's doing that unless like the baby's gonna die or the mother's gonna die. Like, nobody's doing it like waiting that long on purpose. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's like 3%, I believe, of abortion, and I don't know, but like, yeah, I said, well, I don't want to get into a whole political screed here, but it's,
you already have. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You did. Religion is wacky. It's out of order. That's what it is. The problem is, it shouldn't be injected into our politics. It shouldn't have any sense in our lives unless we should choose so, right? Because that's the whole point, is your right to choose. We're talking about Roe versus Wade. I'm a man. I have no say in a woman's body. I got no right to regulate what a woman can and can't do with her body. I have no opinion on the matter. You want to go have an abortion here, there, whatever? Do whatever the fuck you want, because you know what? I don't have to carry that baby. I don't. But you got a bunch of people who say, well, this is, I mean, we were talking about Texas earlier and how I said Dallas is much like anywhere else but hotter. Well, drive a little farther south and you start seeing all the billboards and the mega churches and everything else like that. You know, oh, at this many weeks, a baby has fingernails. Okay, like, I give a shit.
That's on a billboard?
Yeah, about a baby's forming its eyes and everything else. So it's like, holy, it must have a soul. Yeah, so you know what I mean? There's pro, anti-abortionists already have their message out there, and maybe they've influenced some people who said, you know what, I am maybe religious, and I've got to think my stance on this because I don't want to subject to my soul to eternal damnation. Okay, that's you. That's great. Yeah. That's what you wanted to do. I don't give a shit. Don't judge anybody else because they have something else going on in their lives, and we shouldn't mandate that someone can or cannot do anything, right? But then, here's the gray area. Here's where someone's going to hit you right in the bejoolies.
Well, then why the fuck are you making me wear a mask? If I don't want to wear a mask, I don't have to wear a mask. And then they say, well, you don't have to wear it in public, but in a private business. Well, this is America. This is every private business. They're choking my rights to death. That's what they is.
Well, I'm sure there are businesses that don't require you to wear a mask. I know if I went into a restaurant and a dude had a beard the size of fucking, Timbuktu hanging from his chinny chin chin, I'd prefer if he had a beard guard on. Imagine him saying, you know, this is encroaching on my rights to have a beard.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Would that same person who says, oh, Dr. Fauci is fucking, he's Satan, that's what he is. if you went in and wanted a freaking hoagie, you wanted a Subway sandwich, and, I'm trying to think of someone with a beard, Grizzly Adams, is there putting your freaking sandwich together, would you say, excuse me, sir, could you please put a beard guard on? Of course they would.
Yeah.
They don't want the freaking pubes in their beard. I mean, what, in their sandwich?
Right.
Maybe they want pubes in their beard. I don't know. They might. Maybe I'll dream that up tonight.
Maybe they're tail gunners.
Maybe that's tail gunners. Put some pubes in my beard, baby. Yeah. I need it. But that's the thing, man. Religion is just too much. And we could keep going to a blue in the face, and we will, because we have a show with no limit on how long we're going to record for. We've been on the air now for years, and we got no signs of slowing down. So biggity bam, biggity boom. I think most people agree with me that we have the right to say whatever we want to say when we want to say it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's also the First Amendment.
So there we go. Yeah. Thank you.
I think a lot of these right-wingers are so excited about the Second Amendment that they skip over that whole Establishment Clause in the first.
Yeah. And we want to have our guns. Got to have our guns. That's something that always gets me, is like the Second Amendment. We're talking about guns, and, you know, people have made the argument, which, you know, I understand a little bit, that when they enacted this, there weren't automatic rifles. There weren't mass weapons destruction, whatever.
Or muskets.
So, they were right. Exactly. It took 15 minutes to load the damn thing.
Right.
But the same thing comes now with freedom of speech, because people want to attack. Okay, well, social media, right? People can say whatever they want to say. There was Devin Nunes, because there was a parody account of him that he got upset about. He says they don't have the right to say certain things. So I guess it's all based on your perspective. If you're feeling violated or attacked, your opinion on certain things might change. But there we go. Technology is we are often amazed that technology has changed so much in 30 years. Since we were children, we can't get over it. Imagine from when the Constitution was written and the Bill of Rights and every other damn thing these old people with wooden teeth and wigs on were trying to protect.
Mm.
So shouldn't things be updated? Shouldn't this be an ever evolving contract with America?
Right.
The Constitution.
Exactly. It's a growing document.
It's not. It's a fucking flag in the goddamn sand. That's what it is. It's like, well, it says we can have guns. It doesn't say what kind of guns. Doesn't say what kind. You know, it's just crazy. So yeah, let's talk about something else. I'm gonna have a conniption.
I'm fine with that, man. Like I said, I didn't want to get on the whole thing.
Palpitations.
But...
You got me into this now.
Well,
get me out of it. Take me out of here.
I will. Let me get started on my Nate's notes.
Well, before you do that,
yep.
Let me get myself out of here because there's something I wanted to bring up that I forgot to mention.
Sure.
And it actually has to do with technology, to which I was just ranting and raving about.
Okay.
Do you have Instagram? You use Instagram?
Oh, I do.
Yes. Instagram should be investigated immediately. There is a hovering problem for Instagram. Now, we all know, and I'm the kind of person, when I have my phone out, I turn off the microphone, I turn off cameras, because people want to spy on you, even if you think there's nothing to spy over.
Right.
Your data, they sell it. Doesn't matter what it is. It's junk data. Doesn't matter. They take it. They, you know, make money off of it. You get nothing. Well, something I found interesting about Instagram is that if you scroll and should you hover over something, the next thing you know, the rest of the feed is going to be inundated with that kind of content, which can potentially be very, very dangerous. Uh-huh. Now, I don't know this from personal experience, but just for example's sake, let's say you happen to find some photos about disabled Asian seniors with a foot fetish.
Sure.
Next thing you know, wait, what's this? Oh, that's freaky. Your whole feed is going to be nothing but people in wheelchairs showing you Pacific Islanders with their feet.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like I said, I don't know. I just random.
I'm nervous because I was looking at tail gunning seniors myself.
Tail gunning is yet to be defined. So don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to our audience.
Okay.
but you get my drift here, right? If you see a girl or so, Instagram model. Oh, I mean, let's see what's going on here. Look at those, whatever.
Fun bags. Sorry.
Fun bag. Thanks for, you know what? You pick up the slack.
That's it. That's what I'm here
That's
for.
What you do. I was going to say something like sweater cannon or something, but.
Okay.
Which is.
Something a little more tasteful.
Yeah. Totally appropriate. Okay. Here we go. Okay. But yeah, should you look at that for a second, next thing you know, so you better be careful if you're next to your significant other or spouse and you scroll because they're going to say, hey, how come you got all this weird fetish stuff popping up on your feed? And you can say,
that's good to know.
It's the algorithm, baby.
Wow.
That's
this is
what
a
it
warning.
Is.
Wow. Dave is out looking out for us.
Guys. I am. I am a good looker, literally and figuratively. Yeah. I am quite dapper and handsome, but I mean, seriously, if you're on Instagram, beware. If you know a trick to get out of this, please email us. Not that I need it, personally.
No, of course not.
Yeah. Make sure you can reach out to us, sellingoutshow@gmail.com or on Instagram. Hover on our photo, as you can see some interesting stuff. The last post I did on Instagram for our the last episode we had is of an electrical socket that looks like it's weeping. That is a legitimate electrical socket in my house. This was not something I grabbed off the internet. This was literally the Virgin Mary in my toast. Jesus's image appeared on my freezer. My electrical outlet, one of the sockets, started crying uncontrollably, and I by happenstance was there to snap a photo. So that kind of stuff you can't get anywhere else except for the Selling Out Show Instagram. So reach out to us there, here, or wherever. Messenger Pigeon works as well.
Sure.
Nate, you alluded to earlier, you wanted to do your Nate's Notes segment, to which I strongly recommend. But before we head in that direction, I do want to thank the partners of this program. And I will lead off with NorthlandVapor.com. I love to vape. I love it so much because I used to smoke. And smoking is filthy, dirty, and gross. Well, Northland Vapor is there for you for all your smoking cessation needs. And their e-liquids are diketone and artificial sweetener free, so you know you're not loading up your lungs full of junk. They have retail locations that you can find on their website, northlandvapor.com. I just mentioned the properties of the e-liquid. It just tastes great. Go with it. You're going to love it. AlpineHemp.com. Oh, yeah, CBD. CBD is just for me. You got some ailments. Got some things bothering you. Guess what? You pop some pills. You feeling good? Is that a good song? You think that was a good jingle?
Great, man. Hit him up.
Yeah. Go, all right.
Hire you.
Well, maybe. Hit up the Alpine Hemp.
Yeah.
There you go. And you can find all kinds of CBD products. Everything under the sun, from capsules, tinctures, balms. You like balm? It might aid in some tail gunning. You never know. You can find that at alpinehemp.com. Now at Northland Vapor and Alpine Hemp, you can save 19% off your entire order by using code SELLINGOUT19. Last but not least, on this little plug here, Spunk Lube is an award-winning lubricant used by professionals in the adult film industry. But why let them have all the fun? You can now has Spunk Lube delivered discreetly to your door by visiting spunklube.com. Try them today and you can thank me later. Now, because I am so fluent the way I do my reads, look at that. It's flowing like butter. It's coming out of my mouth, which also might have something to do with tail gunning. We don't know yet. I now present to you Nate's Notes.
Dust off your LPs. It's time for Nate's Notes.
I remember being 10 or 11 years old and hearing Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice for the first time. Now, that song has had some ups and downs over the years. It went from huge hit to cheesy embarrassment to another cited example of white people capitalizing on a medium created by black people. It seems to have settled somewhere around the level of endearing yet kitschy classic that gets played by wedding DJs. But in 1990, when I was first hearing it, it was just the hot new single on MTV. I thought it was pretty cool. But then I remember my father coming in and saying something like, "Oh, listen, another shitty rap song stealing music from someone else." I didn't know what he was talking about. The video said it was by Vanilla Ice. Of course, eventually, I saw some MTV news report about how the guys from Queen were suing Vanilla Ice for using a sample of their music without giving them credit. It was the first time I remember hearing the word sample in relation to music production. I thought samples were the little bits of food they handed out at grocery stores. Not long afterwards, I remember hearing that MC Hammer's song, You Can't Touch This, was basically just him rapping over a song by some weird 70s funk singer named Rick James.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Sampling was everywhere. Now, my father's take on the practice of sampling in music is not uncommon, especially in his generation, who grew up on Hendrix and the Beatles and Bob Dylan. Hell, the closest thing to a sampler that existed back then was maybe a Mellotron, which is basically a keyboard that plays actual tiny lengths of tape. When you press the keys, there would be pre-recorded notes on each tape, recorded from actual flutes or stringed instruments. The Beatles song Strawberry Fields is a good example of a Mellotron being utilized. Now, that kind of sampling is a far cry from Ice Ice Baby using that Queen riff, but it is technically still sampling. Shit, you could be a piano player and get the sound of a cello without having to learn to play the damn cello. Where was the outrage over that? Anyway, over the years, there have been a lot of artists from varied stylistic backgrounds that have employed samples in varying degrees. There were experimental composers like Stockhausen and Pierre Schaeffer who created music out of found sounds and recorded snippets as early as the 1940s. After the Mellotron, there was the Fairlight synthesizer in the 1970s, whose creators actually coined the term sampling. The Fairlight allowed the user to record their own clips and play them back on a standard piano-style keyboard, where the Mellotron came preloaded with limited sounds. This more or less opened the doors for the whole modern era of samplers, which have come into broad use in all types of modern music. The practice in hip-hop of rapping over existing music didn't start with samplers, though. Hip-hop began in community dance halls, where an MC would just freestyle over any disco record the DJ happened to be playing. Sure, eventually producers started creating original music for rappers, but think about it. Even the earliest massive hip-hop single, Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Gang, was just rhymed over the music from Good Times by Sheik. And actually, dub reggae artists in Jamaica like Lee Scratch Perry and King Tubby were making, quote, rhythms to sing over out of existing reggae songs as early as the 60s. Over the years, of course, many artists who wrote the original music sampled in hip-hop have sued over unauthorized use of their work. It's often an expensive undertaking to clear samples ahead of time. Savvy producers sometimes pick super obscure source material, or they distort the original track in order to slip it through unnoticed. Sometimes it works, sometimes not. Nowadays, when an artist like Kanye West puts a recognizable sample in a song, it's kind of just another version of flexing their wealth, like an ornate stage show or a giant diamond medallion. Personally, I see sampling as an exciting medium. I think it's a unique listening experience to hear a familiar song or just a clip of a familiar song reworked into something new. I mean, rap is primarily about lyrical flow and vocal delivery anyway. There are great producers, however, and the best of them do more than just play a bare bones clip of an existing track. And of course, sampling is used in all kinds of music, not just hip hop. I listen to a lot of industrial music that samples clips from movies or TV shows. There's a lot of great electronic artists like The Orb and the Future Sound of London who create dance music and ambient sound collages from samples of music and films of all kinds. DJ Shadow's classic 1996 album, End Traducing, was composed entirely of samples from other artists' records, and it's on Rolling Stone's list of the 500 greatest records of all time. I can understand people's resistance to the practice, especially those who don't play music themselves. If you're an average Rick James fan, you might see MC Hammer as lazily capitalizing on another artist's creativity. But when you experiment with making music and you find a clever way to work in a piece of found audio, a police siren, a snippet of dialogue from an old episode of Twilight Zone, even a clip from an old soul song, it can open up all kinds of possibilities. I'm not going to convince anyone that they should like Vanilla Ice. I don't even like Vanilla Ice. But if you are a little open-minded about hearing what can be done with the art form of sampling, check out some DJ Shadow. That aforementioned album of his, End Traducing, is popular for a reason. Check it out, even if you hate hip-hop. It's an instrumental album. There are no vocals. Just really cool songs and collages made from samples. Music is wonderful because you can make it from anything, from banging on a rock, to plucking strings on a harp, to looping clips of someone talking or scratching a record. You can make noise with it. There's a musician using it, and there's also an audience to appreciate it.
See that? We get some samples of our own around here. Isn't that right, Mister? I call 911 to find my stolen weed.
Yeah.
All right.
What?
So,
very how appropriate.
Yeah, very appropriate. I must confess, Nate, that was very good. I mean, when you talk about the Ice Ice Baby thing, that was pretty blatant. I can see why he, in fact, got sued. I remember there was a P. Diddy. Didn't he use Every Breath?
He used a lot of them, yeah.
Well, so that was just a small... There was Led Zeppelin in the one he did from the Godzilla soundtrack.
Yep.
So I don't know how much he gets.
Hate Me Now.
Hate Me Now, but if you can pay it,
yep.
Don't ask permission. There you go. Just fucking steal it all you want. That's all you have to do.
Yeah. P. Diddy's one of those that I was talking about when I said there are some shitty ones who just play the track and put a beat over it, really. Like, he's not a good example of someone who uses it cleverly. But just, I also wanted to say quickly, I was writing that before we planned on using samples and whatnot in this episode. Like,
oh, what was samples? I just happen to be a wizard.
Whoa.
I can just summon sounds from my magic wand.
You are wrong.
Oh, no, oh, Mr. Shit. Police officer. I stand corrected. I am, in fact, using a sampler. So, yes. But I'm a musician now, according to Nate's piece.
You could be.
I got two rocks.
Yeah.
Clanging them together, clink, clank, clong.
There's somebody out there that'll listen to it.
Yeah. Yep. And hopefully people are still listening right now.
Yeah, man.
appreciate the effort I put into pre-programming buttons to make noises.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, Nate, nice piece.
Thank you very much.
But I did want to say on it, I guess in my closing of the whole thing, I don't know anybody who's just sitting there. I like your dad did back in the day, but I was going to say, I suppose I would if I heard something sampled from that maybe I hold precious from my generation. Being used now, it's just a sample, these cheap sons of bitches. But it's not something I think about on a daily basis. I go, modern music has gone to hell in a handbasket because I use all those samplers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there are those people. There's a lot of them listen to country, to bring it back to the beginning of our episode.
Oh, really? Is country's doing samples now?
No. I just mean that I feel like a lot of people I know that listen to country, that's one of the problems they have with rap, is that they're like, they're just talking over somebody else's music. I've heard that. I don't mean, I guess maybe that's prejudicial or something.
Oh, but I bet.
I feel like I've heard it a lot in my rural area of Massachusetts.
There you go. The rural area that's all behind the Supreme Court. I love what they're doing up there in that there building they got them judges in. I wonder if they wear underwear under them there robes. I wouldn't. It's too damn hot outside.
Yeah.
Now I'm doing all the callbacks. You see that?
Woo.
So, yeah. All right, well, I think that does it for this salaciously sexual and stupendous episode of the Selling Out Show. So as I close every show, I do want to thank the audience. Virtual hugs to each and every one of you. We appreciate your patronage beyond words. I think, Nate, I was waiting for Nate to chime in, like, yeah, me too. But he was...
Of course.
He was very quiet there. He's like, fuck them kids.
Yeah.
Fuck them. but anyway, it's been a fun episode, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, Nate.
You're a nice guy.
Yeah, you're a peach.
I try, Dave. You're a wonderful human being yourself.
Oh,
I appreciate
thanks.
Doing this with you.
Flattery is part of tail gunning.
Yeah, man.
Just so you know, we're making this up on the fly. So that's the other thing. If you guys do have any ideas for tail gunning, I really want to hear these. So please reach out. Okay, I guess with all that being said, I am Dave, that is Nate, and this has been The Selling Out Show.
Peace. Wake up, you never lose.